Hey, bro, don't forget, it ain't the first 48, bro. It's 60 minutes, bro.
We heard a whole lot of lip service, but hey, anybody can do that. But between them lines,
we're coming to camp. You best not miss. Even the score now. We need a score now. Back on that wall, when you hear that call, you know it's going down. We play from beginning to end, and you know how we finish. Turn to the bank, gotta handle our business. We need the ball, so it's time to go get it. Play with your heart when you hit, make like, me feel it. You know I'm with. You come to the bank and get out of line, we sending a blitz. Say, who you with? You know I'm with. That purple and black, and when we attack, you know what it is.
You're not locked in Zone 32.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Zone 32 episode. Podcast episode 105. I got my guys with me. Got my guy Drew, Will, Grant, and me, Trippy. Hey, this episode gonna be what? What'd you say again, Will?
A reaction? 105.
No, I already know. I already said 105.
We're celebrating overreaction.
Yeah, overreaction.
We're in the middle of overreaction season.
Yeah.
I do want to just point out, last weekend was opening weekend of the UFL, so Will's gambling app dropped. He hinted at it on a podcast before. I was very excited to bet on the UFL and, you know, share his picks with you guys. You go check out his Twitter. He's got a promo code, solo gambling app. Everybody was hyped about the UFL. Everybody knew that was happening last week. Psych.
You probably bet it on that kicker.
Well, sadly, the Orioles game was at the same time as the Defenders game, so I didn't get to put any UFL bets in last weekend.
You put them in on your special gambling app that you have a promotional code with that people are going to go check out. Zone 32 gets you 32% match on your first deposit to Will's gambling app. If it looks like you're sending it to a random cash app, it's just that's the interface they use. It's totally legit. You get all your money back. It's good times. So yeah, definitely look at Will's Twitter and cash app him some money, and then you can gamble on the UFL with Will.
There you go.
And UConn's in the Final Four. Everybody here cares a lot about March Madness, so I figured I would point that out. Grant, what happened in North Carolina?
Gino Auriemma back in the Final Four.
We're talking about men's right now.
RJ Davis decided to have the worst game of his career on the most important game.
Oh, so UNC lost. Wow, that's crazy. No,
they won.
UNC lost because I swear you told me.
Oh, my bad.
Me.
I thought you said NC State.
No, UNC. Grant told me before the tournament, he's like, oh, UNC is so much better than UConn. UConn sucks, but UConn's in the Final Four and UNC lost. So, I don't know. Confusing.
Yeah,
we're just going to have to put that in the growing file of bad Grant takes that go against things that Drew likes. But JJ McCarthy and JJ McCarthy and UConn are not making you look good.
Yeah,
but as Trippy said,
shut up.
Yeah, your Tar Heels are not very good, Grant. You should probably find a new team. Not very good at football, not very good at basketball. Baseball wise, like Andrew Miller is probably the best thing that they've ever created. I don't know, man. It's not looking good.
He's
a Taco Bell drive through getting fourth meal to cope with his depression of Drake May is probably going to go like 10th overall now, and Grant's world's just crumbling right now with his college affiliations. And you would think the Ravens were crumbling with the way Twitter reacted to the Stephon Diggs trade today. So I think that's probably a good place for us to start. Of how, again, we repeat ourselves like every week. I feel like where we talk about how stupid our fans are, and then every week they're like, look at how smart the Zone 32 guys are. They call us stupid, and we overreact to everything, and then they act stupid and overreact to shit. So.
Yeah.
Diggs, what was the final trade, Will? I know it was essentially Diggs got traded for a 2025 second round pick. I know some picks from Buffalo changed hands too.
I think it was like Diggs and
I'm about to see that.
Was it like a sixth and a seventh or a fifth and a sixth?
I was going to say it was a fifth,
I think
and
it was a
sixth.
Fifth and a sixth.
And yeah, they're all 2025 picks, correct?
I think one of them this year.
Yeah, so maybe it's this year, and there's money changing hands. Whatever the fuck Diggs did in Buffalo must be really fucking bad. He tweeted last night, Robert Griffin III, who I can't watch his Twitter videos because they just make me cringe, but posted something about, what Diggs did for Josh Allen, and a random guy responded with was it really Diggs, blah, blah, blah. And then Diggs responded with are you sure? And I quote tweeted that with, if Brandon Bean had any balls, you'd trade him to Baltimore for a sixth round pick tomorrow to send a message. And then he ended up trading him to Houston for a second. So, kudos to Brandon Bean, younger brother of Billy Bean, per sources, for getting rid of Stephon Diggs. But financially, that was never going to work for us. I would have liked for that deal to happen. People have said that we were in on Diggs in terms of kicking the tires and, like, you know, checking his availability. And I think at the end of the day, the Texans just have that cap flexibility with Stroud on a rookie contract and nobody really locked up long term.
Right. That's what it comes down to, 100%.
Yeah, is they can take on that money and, you know, they can offer that second round pick next year and just do the deal, and there's no having to renegotiate and, you know, dealing with Diggs. Clearly they want Diggs out of town if they're willing to eat that kind of dead money. So he's got to be causing all kinds of shit there. You know, probably
he bought Ben McDermott's wife or something.
Or he said that he didn't like the Taliban and that just, you know.
Yeah.
He pledged allegiance to the United States.
he told Sean McDermott that 9/11 was bad, and it just, you know, it caused a rift in their relationship that they couldn't repair. But our fans were acting like EDC has just never done anything. Again, they've reverted to last year where EDC is the worst general manager of all time and doesn't do anything. And why can't we make moves like this for Lamar and blah, 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 blah. It's just, it's the same shit every week. Like, I feel like it doesn't even matter the caliber of player that moves at this point. If any move that gets made and it's not the Ravens doing it, our fans are going to have a fucking meltdown.
Yeah. So, okay. It boils down to, you know, what you said, 1993. So why does it say he's 31 right now?
Diggs?
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's
31.
Well, he was born in 1993. He's going into his, he's going
age
into
31 season.
Age 31 season. He turns 31 in November. So his 2024 cap charge now is $19 million. Okay. So his new contract after the trade, $19 million, 18.5, 19.5, excuse me, 19.6, 18. But the way that it is, because he was traded and all the signing bonus money was obviously on the other end of that, after this year, he can be cut with no dead money. So we can't accommodate $19 million. That's
what we can't, but that deal was a good deal.
To make that
for the Texans, for the Texans, yeah.
Yeah, because the Texans would have had to get Diggs to agree to some kind of extension or some kind of reworked contract. That takes time. That's not something that you can just turn around and do. And clearly something happened recently that was a tipping point that they wanted him the fuck out of, you know, Buffalo. And I don't think they want to do him any favors either. I think they just wanted to fucking get rid of him to the highest bidder and, you know, wash their hands.
I don't know. He's in a pretty favorable situation right now.
Right, but I'm saying that, you know, he's a Baltimore, or he's a, you know, DMV area guy. He went to school at Maryland. Yeah. Like, I'm sure if you asked him, would you rather go play for the Ravens or for the Texans, he'd probably want to go back home. But I'm sure that they were not in any kind of mood to, you know, give him anything on the way out. Like, it was kind of like a fuck you, get off my team kind of trade. Yeah. So,
well, and like I told Will earlier, like, the thing is, too, is like, with I get what some of the fans are saying, not the ones that are going crazy off the walls on shit. What was Diggs realistic? No, like, it wasn't going to happen. We didn't have the money to do it. But I get the sentiment of the more dominoes that fall without something happening, the more frustrated the fan base is going to get. And when you have three major holes at three huge important position groups in wide receiver, O-line, and edge, you got to do something. And it is April 3rd, but I think by the draft, to be able to better analyze your draft, you need to go ahead and make a move for somebody.
Sure.
Whether you're trading for a – not saying go out and get the best offensive line in the league or the best edge rusher or the best receiver, but make something happen. And we keep talking about Sutton. Sutton is a prime example of somebody you just go get.
We're pigeonholing ourselves to the point where, like, the draft has to go the way we want it to. And you have to hit on veterans that get cut around June 1st and, you know, camp cuts and your trash heap pickups have to work out. And that's fine. Like, EDC has proven in the past that he can take scrap heap edge rushers and make them work. Like, he can take scrap heap corners and fill out the cornerback room. He's done a pretty good job on the offensive line. It hasn't been perfect by any stretch of the imagination. It probably took a year longer to get that offensive line to a point where it was functioning than it should have. But again, he's made that work with, you know, other than Tyler Linderbaum being a first round pick. Like, he's done that with a lot of, you know, cheap free agent pickups and, signing Zeitler and, you know, getting Moses for cheap. So, like, I have faith in his ability to fix the offensive line if it hasn't already been fixed with guys that he drafted, you know, in the past couple of years. I have faith in him filling out the cornerback room. I have faith in him making, you know, the pass rush work. It's really wide receiver that it comes down to for me. And, yes, you know, that's because other than Zay Flowers, he's not done anything draft-wise that makes me think he's going to be able to fix it. So, you know, it makes, you know, this year's draft more important. And if there's a way to address one of those needs before the draft, like Grant said, it makes your draft less stressful. You're not going in there praying somebody.
And we're never in a situation to pick a top 10 receiver that's going to come in and be a game changer in 2 to 3 years down the road, maybe immediately. And that's another thing, too, is when we're continuously picking the 20s, it's harder to hit home runs on those guys. And like, yeah, you got your scouting department's going to hit. Zay's going to be just fine. Like, you know, we all love Zay. I think the Odell thing last year, we all wanted Odell. It just, he was great for the locker room, but unfortunately didn't work out on the field. And I don't think that's any fault of him. I don't think that's any fault of Lamar. I don't think that's any fault of Monken. It just wasn't what it wasn't. His intangibles aren't what they used to be.
He's not the same guy because he's not as quick as he used to be. He's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. He's not a $15 million a year wide receiver. So,
agreed.
You know, and there's a reason why people aren't kicking down his door trying to sign him for $15 million. Like, the market tells you a lot about what a guy thinks of himself value-wise and how other teams view him. Again, you had former Raven, Jakalen Dobbins, go down and visit Kansas City, and the report in the morning was that he's going to leave with a contract in hand. And then all of a sudden his, you know, meeting's over and they extend Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So, like, there are guys who overvalue themselves on the market and think that they're worth a hell of a lot more money than they are. And I think Odell falls in that category at this point.
Yeah, just want to update or quick update on Diggs. The Bills are eating $31 million in dead cap,
and they only get a sixth round this year draft, and then they get a second round and a fifth round next year draft.
No. Yeah,
so basically they got robbed.
I think they get their fifth this year.
Yeah, no, it's their sixth. I was just looking at it. Yeah, I think it's their six.
They're only getting a second round back.
Look, 2025 second round in exchange for Diggs.
Right.
A 24-6 and a 25-5th pick.
Going back to the Texans.
No, going to the the Bills will receive. Hold on. It say the Bills will receive the Minnesota Vikings 2025 second round pick in exchange for Diggs. A 2025.
You're looking at the first. Well, hold on.
I'm looking at the Vikings report. Yeah, they said that. Yeah, that was the Minnesota Vikings pick.
Okay.
Why did the Texans? Yeah,
one of the picks that Houston dealt, they got from the Vikings for something.
Oh, was it a comp pick or something?
I don't know.
Who did the Texans was that part of the
Kellen,
was Vikings? That
didn't they move up for Kellen Mond a couple of years ago?
Maybe. Yeah, you might be right. This might be one of those like trades that happened like 5 years ago.
The Bills is done, man. They in shambles.
Yeah, they're in shambles. They're going to be fucking terrible this year.
I mean, Trippy had a great idea that we should give them Bateman. You can give them all the drama that they had with Diggs and none of the production. So
yeah, I like that. Good idea,
and
Trippy.
Look, for the listeners, right? For all y'all motherfucking Raven fans, right? Stop saying I'm a Bateman hater. I'm not a Bateman hater, right?
You're a Bateman truther.
You feel
You're
me?
Bateman I'm just truther. A, fucking yeah, I'm name. A truther.
You feel me? Because first of all, y'all keep telling me he wide receiver one, but y'all keep telling me how much 8 is great, right? And I believe 8 is great, but 8 don't trust him. So why the fuck do we need him here? Hello? Why we need him here?
Right.
Let's just start fresh. We got Zay. We brought back Nelly. We got Wallace. You feel me? Let's just start fresh. We can go and bring some other couple receivers in, and we can move on from Bateman. I'm tired of all this. He the best receiver getting separation. But why the fuck can't he get in the ball?
He should get some separation from the Ravens.
Back in part one, I was always open, but the quarterback ain't never throw me the ball. You know why? Because he ain't trust me.
So I'm okay with our fans hyping up Bateman because there's dumb enough GMs that might look at Twitter and be like, oh, wow, Ravens fans really like this guy. We should trade for him. So if that's what you're trying to do and you're just, you know, falsely pumping up our players so that they, you know, have higher trade value, go for it. I want no part of Rashad Bateman here next year, though.
Yeah. Well, I want to address the people who are like, the second any fucking thing happens across the league, everyone's like, oh, EDC is sleeping. Ugh, what's EDC doing?
Is this, you know, the meme, my man Froze hasn't moved in 9 hours. And right. You know, it's the picture of,
like,
EDC.
Okay.
Like, that started off as a funny joke of people tweeting that like a second and a half after free agency opened as a joke, because right. they were trying to be like, you know, oh, look at me, I'm overreacting. And then people have like seriously adopted that as their persona.
Seriously. So like there's one guy, I'm not even going to name him, but there's one guy every time Howie Roseman makes a move, like Howie Roseman signed, like, no, this one particular guy, every fucking time.
Push 21. I'm sorry.
Huh? Yes, that's the one. That's the one. Every time. Last week, this motherfucker, they signed like a fucking special teams role player, and he had a tweet about how EDC's not doing anything. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. First of all,
Chris Ford exists.
Right. We've done that. We did do that exact thing. Yeah. But anyway, okay. EDC didn't make the move for Diggs. Number one, we've already been over why that didn't happen. Also, 30 other teams didn't do that. Not every team was in a position to do that. The Texans made a great move. We freely admit that, but again, not every team was in a position to make that move. So the Texans were one of a handful of teams who were, and they did it, and good for them. They're going to be really good. And I've been leading the charge saying that the Texans.
Yeah, he's a solid wide receiver. Yeah. He's a solid wide receiver too, to pair it with Nico Collins, Michigan Legend.
Yeah, and so part of my problem with people even saying that we should have made that move now is the way that that contract is structured is you can't restructure that deal to make it work, because it pushes money to the back end of a deal for a guy who's going to his year 31. 31 season. So now we're pushing money to the back end of it when he's going to be going into his age 34 season, age 35 season. So you want to be paying a guy in the $20 million range when he's at the back end of his career? No, fuck no. Right now, we just paid a guy who's, you know, younger than that, $15 million. So we didn't get $15 million of production out of. And I was glad to pay him that because of everything else that came from it. But it only lasted 1 year for a reason. We're talking about bringing a guy in, paying him 25% more than what we paid Odell for four fucking years. And it would require a restructure right off the bat, moving money down the line and making him more expensive as his skills diminish. So that's a reason not to do it. But beyond that, I forget the guy who tweeted it. I don't typically fuck with this guy's tweets because he's kind of
he's a YouTube guy.
He's kind of a dork. He's just kind of like a sunshine and rainbows.
Theo Ash knockoff.
But he made a good point. Brandon Bean made this trade and kind of got fleeced, in my opinion. He ended up with a $31 million dead cap hit and got ass raped on draft capital. EDC traded Marquise Brown, a malcontent, for a fucking first-round pick and got Tyler Lindebaum out of it. And people want to shit-talk EDC. Shut the fuck up. EDC knows what he's doing.
In Brandon Bean's defense, he did not have some Twitter genius spread fake rumors about Diggs to
he has a bunch of fucking half-wits in his fan base. They don't have that kind of intellect.
I mean, if somebody just tweeted that Diggs was going to retire to play video games, you know, maybe he gets more back for Stephon Diggs. But
they don't think on that kind of level up there.
No, they're just not as smart as I am. That's really what it boils down to.
These are the kind of idiots who show up in the middle of the night to shovel snow for $10 an hour.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're
free tickets
about that,
to see their team lose.
Yeah, that is one of the wildest things like that's happened, is that they paid a bunch of drunk morons to shovel snow because they couldn't figure out how to shovel snow on their own.
Right.
In Buffalo.
Man, shit, like, if that shit happened at the Ravens, I'm gonna do that shit.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm getting blackout drunk and doing dumb shit in the stands, 100%. Like, who wouldn't? That's like a once in a lifetime opportunity that you should never give to fans. Like, you should never give people that opportunity because they paid them $20 an hour to get drunk and slide downstairs and shit like that with no shirt on and like break tables. Yeah.
But also, I just want to recap this. People act like EDC and the Ravens have done nothing in free agency. First of all, before free agency even started, we extended Justin Madubuike, which was the most important thing we could do going into the offseason. Then we signed Derrick Henry, which coming out of that playoff loss was completely necessary, because you can't go into – like, I just don't see a world where you have Derrick Henry on your team and you can call –
Is that dollar for dollar the best free agent signing this offseason?
Has to be, right? And the way his contract was projected to be and what we ended up getting him for, and then paired with the way that that AFC championship game went, there's no fucking way that the offensive coordinator and the head coach can possibly call the game that the way it went this year with Derrick Henry on your team. There's no way that the running backs are getting six carries. It's not happening with fucking Derrick Henry on the team.
Do you know who our head coach is?
What?
Do you know who our head coach is?
I do, but I'm just saying.
Were you choking down some Taco Bell?
What the fuck? You got a fucking BBC Gordita going down your throat?
He got to sip some soda real quick, man.
Grant's fucking,
It sounded like he still was chewing and he was trying to swallow real quick. Pause. And he was trying to hurt me talk real quick.
Should I say
pause or no Diddy? Because I see a lot of people saying no Diddy now. Is that the new thing now?
Yeah. No Diddy. No Meek. No Diddy. Yeah. Steak or chicken gets to your Grant?
From their chicken.
Why? Horrible choice.
Great F.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie, yo. I don't see how people eat Taco Bell, yo. What the fuck, yo?
That's like a once a year craving for me.
And that's like
there's one thing on Taco Bell's menu that's better than anywhere else in the world. That's Baja Blast. But other than that,
that's good shit right there.
Yeah. Now that they sell that in stores, Taco Bell's kind of obsolete. But it used to be you could only get it at
But it's different. It's different when you from the fountain and everything. It's different.
Agreed. It's a league of its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taco Bell.
But I'm saying, like, EDC basically has taken the control out of John's hands in terms of fucking it up with the run game in the playoffs, because it's like, I've given you a fucking monster, a run game monster. You can't ignore this guy. And like, if Derrick Henry isn't getting the carries, he's going to go over and tower over John and be like, hey, motherfucker, put me in the game and let me carry the ball.
Hey, yo, why will push the EDC to be a head coach? I think he'd be a good head coach.
I think he's good where he is.
Yeah, I'm not willing to put him on the sideline. I think he's fine in the GM box there.
X's and O's and signing checks are completely different ball games.
Yeah, no, I think he's good. Very good.
I mean, he'd be a good leader, man, though, for the Ravens. I mean, you know,
he's a good evaluator of talent. Obviously, he's got the scouting background, all that shit. But EDC has armed them with the solution to that problem of abandoning the run game, because with Derrick Henry, you just, like, it's staring you in the face. It's literally a fucking ogre, you know? Like, so to say we've ignored or we haven't done anything is stupid. We've brought back guys we needed. Now, that's not to say there's plenty of work to be done, but
this is mental gymnastics from our fans of the Ravens haven't done exactly what I wanted them to do,
right.
Which means they've done nothing.
And this isn't like previous seasons, okay? So we were in the AFC Championship game. We had some losses on roster losses, right? So we lost Clowney. Obviously, Edge we have to address, but people do ignore, and they're also discounting. So they're ignoring the fact that Owe showed a lot of improvement, and I think will continue to improve. They're ignoring the fact that when Ojabo has been on the field, he's been really good. And like the same people who talk about how Bateman has never had a healthy offseason and he's going to break out are also saying how Ojabo is he's a bust. Ojabo hasn't had a healthy offseason, and in the very limited time he's been on the field, he actually has produced, unlike fucking Bateman, who's just been a fucking nothing across the board outside of a few flash plays. So
yeah, but Bateman caught a touchdown against the Jets a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So like, we have two guys who have shown that they can rush the passer. Now, we obviously need to add to that group. I think KVN comes back. There's more guys out there. We covered this last episode. We're gonna attack it in the draft. I do not doubt EDC's ability to fill those holes. Now, the one area to me that brings me the most concern in terms of like just the most question marks. And Grant is going to say, we've drafted guys and now it's time to let them, you know, step up. And I agree, is offensive line. We just don't know what we have. And again, I do trust that the talent evaluators have done their job. It's just that we don't know what we have. That's all. So I think we are still going to have to add to that position group. I do like that we added, what's his name? The guy,
Josh Jones. I don't know.
Josh Jones. That's his name. Yeah. Yeah, I like we added him. The more I look at it, the better. Like, I didn't even realize he was drafted one spot after Orlando Brown Jr. in that same draft.
And he's not a fucking furry freak, so.
Right. And he doesn't have, as far as I know, he doesn't have titties.
And he doesn't carry around a foxtail butt plug with him everywhere he goes. So.
Right. So,
A lot of points this direction there.
Yeah. Cornerback again, you know. EDC, I think EDC, that might be one of those skill position or those positions where he has an eye for talent, because what he did last year was super impressive. And bringing back Mollett was, I think, a huge thing. And we're going to have our Darius Washington back. So again,
people, Mike Sanders still is in the draft.
So. Just like people who are, I think they're kind of trapped in the same mindset they've been in from 2020 through 2023, where the expectations and like the letdown of the previous season they're not living in reality. We went to the AFC Championship game and Vegas is telling you what you should be believing. We're still, I believe, the second or third shortest odds to go to the Super Bowl, and the third shortest odds to go to the Super Bowl, second shortest odds to win the AFC behind the Chiefs. So, and that's after everything that just happened today with the Texans. So listen to the money, listen to Vegas. We're the sky is not falling. Stop overreacting. Stop being stupid. That's the main.
Yeah, reality is often disappointing. I mean, that's like a proven fact. You can go into the offseason and expect all these high price signings and trades and all this crazy shit to happen. It almost never happens. And it's all about making a couple big moves that make your team better, and then filling in the depth with guys who work. And they're typically, you know, you hit on a late round draft pick or some kind of scrap heap veteran that you bring in that works out. I like our odds of bringing in a scrap heap veteran that can rush the passer well. I like our odds of bringing in a corner that, you know, works, that's off the scrap heap. My only real question on the offensive line, we've been great at guard. You know, just bringing in random guys, or, you know, drafting random guys, letting them sit around for a couple of years, and all of a sudden they're like all pro caliber guards and they go somewhere else and get paid. Right tackle is a little bit of a question to me. But I feel like, again, you have ample opportunity in the draft to address that. And you also have Flaley on the roster. So, I mean, there is like a fallback option there. And you did just sign that Jones guy who has a pretty extensive history at playing tackle in the NFL. So, I think we're okay there. It really comes down to wide receiver for me. And it's more because we just don't have enough guys in the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Like we can't roll this group out there. You can't expect anything out of Rashad Bateman, whether it's to be healthy or to be productive. Nelson Aguilar is a solid wide receiver three, wide receiver four. And Tylan Wallace is a, you know, still posting his punt return against the Rams, because that's the only thing he's ever done in his career. You know, and then you have Zay Flowers, but like, that's just not enough. Like, yeah, you need more there. So I don't,
and,
you know,
and there's not a lot out there, but you know.
Well, and the good news is I don't think we're going to leave the draft empty handed if we don't make a move at wide receiver.
Right. So if it's not the draft, so if something happens before the draft with wide receiver, it's going to be a trade for Cortland Sutton, or it's going to be, or a signing of Michael Gallup, or maybe a signing of Michael Thomas, something like that.
Does the Diggs trade help an Ayuk trade in terms of knocking down the value of a wide receiver?
I think I know a little.
Granted, there are extenuating circumstances clearly with Diggs, and I'm sure that that story will come out eventually of all the fucked up shit that he's done behind the scenes. But like, if you're moving a legitimate wide receiver one for a second round pick next year, you know, Brandon Ayuk has got a, maybe it's only one first now.
Ayuk sounds, I mean, from the way things sound, it sounds like Ayuk is maybe in the same neighborhood in terms of his discontent with his situation there.
I think the difference with his discontent is that a contract solves it. I don't think there was anything that solves Diggs. That's the only
Yeah.
Major difference to me. And even you can look at Justin Jefferson. I mean, he has made it pretty clear that he doesn't want to play in Minnesota if they don't go get a quarterback.
Right. So, but I don't see a way that we can. It's just so expensive. He's going to be the most expensive wide receiver of all time.
Worth it.
No, yeah, it's just I don't know how we make it work. But
is it your money?
No, I'm just trying to do the math in my head. But you know,
EDC, the Ravens don't pay you to do the math. They pay, you know, some fucking Yale dork to do that kind of shit. Yeah. So,
and I'm able to do math tonight because I didn't go to the American Legion.
I mean, if it come down to it, and I mean, the Ravens really try to win a Super Bowl, and it's a way EDC can make that shit happen. I'm pretty sure he'll bring Justin Jefferson there.
Of course. Listen, I'm not. I certainly am not against any of that.
I ain't gonna lie though. I really feel like that's the missing piece. Like, we need another wide receiver that can just like pair with Zay, like can be able to take the top off of these DBs. Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, throw this. Like, you could throw that motherfucker up. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, Lamar first Hollywood rookie year, the first game. Remember how Lamar was airing that motherfucker out?
Yeah.
Shit like that. Like, we need a receiver like that. Like, that's our problem, bro. Like, we don't throw the ball deep. We
Zay can do that, but what Zay did so well in Munkin's offense, it prevented him from being that guy. Now, if we had somebody that could do what they wanted Zay to do this year, I mean, he's still going to get his jets and the screens and stuff like that, but it allows him to play more of an outside position to where he can stretch the field more and take those shots.
That's what I was going to say, Grant, too. And
Ayuk would compliment him so fucking well.
What? What do you think we should, if we can make that move, what do you think we should give up for him?
I don't think for first.
Because I ain't going to lie.
Because you got to pay him, too.
Hey, Grant,
for Justin Jefferson, I would give up. There's
no, we talking about Brandon Ayuk. We talking about
first round pick and Rashad Bateman. Thanks.
I do that because you know what? Because a lot of Bill fans.
For
Rashad
Ayuk.
Bateman.
No, for Ayuk.
Yeah. I don't know if I give up a first for him because you got to not pay him.
Yeah, you got to pay him.
What are you going to take at 30? That's better than
Brandon Ayuk? We can give him Bateman a second this year and a second next year for Ayuk. And we still can probably pay him.
I would happily do.
Having to pay them and give up a first is a negotiation. It's something at the negotiation table for us that would benefit us.
Right, but if it's we want Rashad Bateman in 30th overall, you can go fuck yourself. Like, I'm fine with that trade at the end of the day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not walking away from that trade because they want the 30th overall pick rather than, you know, 2 second round picks. That's not a deal breaker to me, I guess.
And 30 to 36, it's the same fucking value.
Right, exactly. So I mean, if we're, you know, at that point, I'm not walking away from that trade over a first round pick. I would rather not give one up, but if that's what it's gonna take to get the trade done, then yeah, go do it. And for Justin Jefferson, I'd give up like the next 8 years of draft picks and just fucking figure it out.
Man, I would love to have Justin Jefferson. I mean, I would love to have either one of them because I just feel like they can stretch the field. Like, and we know what they can do. You see
Justin,
what I'm saying?
Justin
we know.
Jefferson is in his own tier.
Ayuk, though, is like he is the epitome of Baltimore. Like, he's gritty. Like, he's got, like, he's not a dickhead. He's got an edge to him, but he's not an asshole. And that's not.
He's not a diva.
Exactly. Like, he gives me hardcore Anquan Boldin vibes. Like, the way he fights for balls, the way he's, you know, he's got a little edge to him at the end of runs, like stuff like that. Like, he's somebody that would fit.
Well, and like Boldin, he's kind of like the overlooked piece of that offense. You know, Boldin had Fitzgerald in front of him that got all the praise. And I would say Ayuk has Samuel and McCaffrey ahead of him now that, you know, everybody sucks them off and kind of forgets Brandon Ayuk exists. So
I'm trying to think around the league if there's anybody where, like, just there's somebody out there that is just being forgotten.
AJ Brown?
I don't think so, man.
I mean, if DK didn't just sign that, depending on what his deal looks like, he was somebody that I thought about, but I didn't.
What about Doug Baldwin?
He's like 94 years old.
I'm just saying.
Doug Baldwin.
He's older than you.
He is older than you. But you'll get Golden Tate while you're at it.
I'm just saying he's on that team.
Is Percy Harvin available?
For all that, yo, can we get T.O. back? I'm pretty sure he might come to Baltimore now.
Yo, but look at that team. Look who they got.
Who were some guys, too?
And I was saying Doug.
But who were some guys?
Didn't Doug Baldwin retire?
I think he retired.
I'm pretty sure he heard it. You're thinking of Tyler Lockett.
I'm thinking of Tyler Lockett.
I was so confused.
No, Tyler Lockett signed back with him.
I think
Tyler
Baldwin's like 40. I think Doug Baldwin's
he restructured.
So speaking of that, who out there is like an edge that's up for a contract soon that what might be somebody we could deal for?
See, those are tough. Like, those are really hard. There's a ton. I'm sure there's got to be a guy in the contract here we're not thinking of. But, you know, like teams don't really, I don't know if like advertise that those guys are available is the right word. But like whenever a big edge moves, it's kind of a shock. You know, there's like Brian Burns kind of guys who move every year that are like, all right, like that makes sense. Nobody wants to play in fucking Carolina. They weren't going to pay him the franchise tag. But I can't think of another guy like that. But, you know, like before, remember Bradley Chubb when he moved from Denver to Miami?
Yeah.
Like that was it. You know, that before the year, everybody would have called you fucking crazy for saying that trade would happen. And then week five, all of a sudden Denver falls out of it. And they're like, yeah, sure. I feel like that's an edges of more like deadline move. If there's a guy like that on the market,
I'm more focused on wide receiver. If anything,
like I said in our chat earlier, like we got the holes at the edge, the O-line and the receiver as the most glaring ones. Not like Will said, I'm not really worried about corner. EDC does a great job at filling corner. I feel like if he had to pick his favorite position, DB would be his favorite position.
Safety and corner. Because they're kind of interchangeable with him.
And I'm way more comfortable with our offensive line room than I am with our wide receiver room, and it's not even close.
Yeah, 100%. I'm willing to start the season today and figure out our offensive line. I am not willing to start the season today with our wide receiver room.
I agree.
Of course not. I mean, we don't even have enough wide receivers to start.
Right. So, I mean, you have to do something at that point. Like, we're at that point where we're not going to start the year with this
group. Honestly, I think it's almost like a foregone conclusion. We're going to sign Gallup.
So is Gallup that guy that, you know, he visited with us, he's not going to sign anywhere, we're going to pick him up in August? Like, that's kind of the vibes I'm getting from him, though.
It's possible.
I just don't think that's like an imminent move.
Or depending on who we drive.
Right. Is Gallup your contingency plan to not picking somebody up in the third round or, you know, fourth round? Which I'm okay with. That's fine. He's an okay player. He's nothing, you know, he's not the same guy that he used to be a couple of years ago, but he's also a solid role guy. So I'd take him. Wouldn't really mind him. I'm hoping by like, you know, next week we have actual news.
Free agent.
22. Laviska Shenault's still out there.
More of a fourth. He's more of like.
What about Chark? Is Chark still out there?
Yeah, pretty sure he is. No, wait. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's still out there.
I don't want him though.
But somebody that I've always liked on he's more of a 4-3 outside backer, but Quan Alexander, man, when he's on the field, he's a fucking animal.
Tyler Boyd is still available.
I do not want Tyler Boyd.
Well, did you see that thing? Oh, never mind. You guys are blocked. AB put something out earlier and said that the Steelers are fumbling the bag on Tyler Boyd because he went to Pitt and he wants to play for Pittsburgh, but they don't want to give him the money he's asking.
4th and 12, Tyler Boyd can eat my dick. And I never want to see that guy in Baltimore again.
Wide receiver 3 since T. Higgins came in the league.
Yeah, he can go play in fucking China or CFL or UFL. No interest in having him in Baltimore. He can fuck off.
Equanimous St. Brown's out there. My Notre Dame guy. he was sick at Notre Dame, but no, I do not want him.
His brother's better.
No fucking shit. He's
Amon-Ra.
I'd rather draft two wide receivers. Brown, but you don't like Chase Claypool.
What? I liked Equanimous St. Brown at Notre Dame.
Will was a big Chase Claypool guy.
I loved Chase Claypool at Notre Dame, and I actually wanted us to draft him out of Notre Dame.
And then you loved him while he was at the Steelers. You're like, oh wow, he's going to be top 5 wide receiver in the league, greatest player ever made. You know, went to Notre Dame, Canadian, great guy. Yes, he said all those things.
Those are lies.
You knew Gerald account. So
dude, his Chase Claypool. Do you know Chase Claypool is only 25 years old?
Yeah, he's young. But his rookie year though, like I was like, oh damn, he's gonna be a problem.
He had 1,000 yards.
Then he tweeted him losing, never met her, and his career's gone downhill since then. So
it really did. I forgot about that tweet.
Yeah, jackass. Notre Dame products.
Yeah, MVS is out there. Don't want anything to do with him.
Well, I don't know. So I mean,
colleges, Drew. What's I've been mocking Zach Zenner a lot. What's his timetable to return?
I mean, it should be like week two or week three, but he's a fucking lunatic, so he could be back like next week for all I know.
He tore it what in October?
He tore it. No, I think it was November.
He's one that I want to say. He's one that you could pull the Voorhees treatment with and get him in the fourth or fifth.
He would have been a first round pick had he 100%. Not gotten hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to take him. I honestly like take any Michigan offensive lineman, and it's a good idea. Well, their whole offensive line is unreal.
I hate fucking Duke, but man, I'm starting to really like that Graham Barton dude. He can do everything.
So is he? Well, watch him. I feel like he's not a tackle though, and that's kind of the downside.
No, I mean, this is where my thing comes in. This fan base in the front office wanted Falele so bad. You've been grooming him the past couple of years. He's got to be your shot, and it's his job to lose at this point. And if not, you got Josh Jones. But I think solidifying the inside is the most important. I mean, that's where the majority of your pressure creation comes from, is inside. So if you got him next to – you got him, Ben Cleveland played great at right guard, and then you get Barton at left guard. I mean, those three in the middle, I mean, that could be your future on the inside.
But then I feel like you shot multiple draft picks there. You know, you wasted the Voorhees steal. And you basically burn Salah.
Yeah, but Voorhees can play tackle.
Can he in the NFL, though?
I think so, on the right side.
Oh, maybe. No.
And Graham Barton's 6'5", 315. So, I mean.
I thought he weighed significantly less than that. I thought he was like 6'3", like 300.
No, his RAS was like 9.99.
I don't think Voorhees
can play right tackle. Fuck you. You just quoted raw athletic score.
I don't think he can play left tackle in the NFL.
That guy got all
right. No, right.
I don't think
he
can play right.
He had me on Twitter because I said that nobody cares about raw athletic score.
Well, I mean, so I don't, unless it's like an offensive lineman. When you see a guy 315 pounds putting up those numbers, that shows a lot more of like explosiveness and, you know, details versus a wide receiver, a corner getting a high score. Because, yeah, duh, they're supposed to be fucking athletic. Like,
yeah, that was my argument, is somebody posted a wide receiver's raw athletic score, and I was like, nobody fucking cares. Like, of course he can run fast. Like, wow, breaking fucking news. But. And that guy got all emotional about it. Dickhead.
So he, let me see.
So like next week's episode, we need a top 50 draft board from Grant.
Player I only comps. Got 50. That's going to take me fucking ever.
Well, you claimed that you had some.
I had 20. I got receivers.
I top 50 top wide receivers.
No, I have the top 20 wide receivers with comps. I'm not okay. Done yet. I lied.
I want top 50 players, comps. Citations for your comps, like MLA format submitted by the end of the week, and then we'll discuss it on the podcast.
Played 39 starts. He played 34 at left tackle and 5 at center, so he can play across the board.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
That's the dude from Duke, right?
Yeah, and I hate fucking Duke, but the more I watch him, he plays like one of them corn-fed motherfuckers in the middle, like Linderbaum.
Yeah, I mean, that is the kind of guy that we want to go get, is that athletic guy who just, you know, could play anywhere, just, you know, wants to hit people and has a, you know, 3 IQ. That's got to be what we're going after there.
Well, he probably doesn't have a 3 IQ.
Duke did the right thing and stopped caring about academic standards a long time ago for their sports. So, I mean, Duke lacrosse, you're telling me those kids are smart? Like, we know what happened with them.
No, all their parents are boosters.
Grayson Allen, not a smart guy. Jason Tatum, I've seen him talk. He's not the brightest bulb in the pack. Duke has basically given up on this for a smart school thing. So Daniel Jones, noted moron, went to Duke. I mean, I feel like the list just goes on and on here. I can just keep thinking of fucking retards that, you know, have degrees that say Duke on them. So Christian Laettner, fucking moron, probably like rapes kids or something.
That goes back to why I want to make a move before the draft, because we already have the flexibility that we don't have to reach on somebody. And if you solidify one of those positions, then you like we talked about, the wide receiver and O-line is deep as fuck. So like, but once you start getting into the third, fourth round, then it drops off big time. So you want to get those guys within the first 2 to 3 rounds.
Right. If we go into the draft and we haven't done anything at wide receiver, I feel like you have to take a wide receiver at 30, regardless of who it is. Like, that's just going to be, like, the mindset going in, and that's bad. We don't want to do that. You know, or you're going to want to reach on an edge at 30, or you're going to want to take, an offensive lineman for positional value rather than how he actually fits your team. Whereas if you've, you know, calmed down a bit and addressed one of the needs beforehand, then maybe you can think with a clearer head and you're not like trying to plot out this perfect draft board.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely with you on that. That, and it doesn't even have to be like a big move would be nice. Something that, you know, again, moves the needle, some kind of splash move, but I don't think you need to make that. I think you just need to, you know, you got to solidify one of those three positions you need going into the draft before the draft.
Not like a Davante Adams or a Justin Jefferson or even maybe a Brandon Ayuk, but somebody better than a Nelson Aguilar and a Rashad Bateman.
Right. I mean, if you can go get a Davante Adams, obviously go do it. But, you know, that's not like that. It's not a you don't need a home run. You just need a single at this point. Right. Like, you know, just get something on the board. Get on base.
No, we need a triple.
Double. I'll settle for a double in this comparison that I'm making here.
I'd rather us focus on the wide receivers in the first rounds. Because, I mean, like, we got a lot of offensive tackles. I mean, I say the tackles, offensive linemen, like, young. So, like, let's see what they can do. And we also still can draft some more receiver. I mean, offensive linemen.
More offensive linemen.
But, man, we need receivers, man. Like,
that is definitely the most critical position that we can't miss on. You know, you don't have a ton of options on the roster for wide receiver. You have options at other positions. So I'm definitely with you there. Like, we're drafting wide receiver because we're literally would like run out Tariq Black week one. And like, he'd be your wide receiver five.
And like I said, EDC, he hit on Zay Flowers this year. Fuck it. Let's go for another one this year.
We could just turn into the fucking Lions from, you know, what was that, like 10, 15 years ago, where they just took wide receivers first round every year.
Yo, I remember that. Charles
Barnes. Mike Williams, Roy Williams, Calvin Johnson.
Roy Williams. Damn.
Good times.
Xavier
Leggett. Xavier Leggett at 62. I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
man, if he's there at 62, good God, there's fucking 32.
I've been seeing that Pope kid from Washington get mocked to us at 62 by a bunch of NFL dorks now.
Hey, he's good.
I like him.
I don't think he makes it. He's a really good possession.
If he's there at 62 and Leggett's not there, then fine.
Yes.
Right. That's my thing with like guys like Polk. I don't want them if there's some like there are better options. I feel like that'll be on the board at 62.
Yeah. Now, if Leggett's there in like the mid 50s and we can make a move to go grab him, like that's where it's like I've made this comparison and he's like the non-evil version of Pickens. I feel like maybe he can be that guy who's there in the early to mid 50s where we can make a move, go grab him. We just got to go do it. Because
Pickens fell that far because he's a fucking asshole. Leggett might fall that far because there's a lot of really fucking good wide receivers.
Yeah, exactly right. Whatever the reason is, but if he's there and we can go get him, we should because he is better than George Pickens and he's not a fucking weirdo criminal who beats up people with mental handicap. Yeah.
So and look at it this way too is. Okay, quarterbacks. How many quarterbacks are we going in the first round? Five?
Probably
maybe six.
Maybe six. So there's six spots. Offensive tackles, not including Fontenot and what's the guard's name? Jackson Powers or whatever from Oregon and Barton.
Yeah.
You take those three out.
Maybe eight.
Five tackles going potentially. So that's 11. You add those in, that's 14. So there's 14 right there that are going to push people back. And this is a draft where good players are going to fall.
Right. And you know you're going to have at least five or six wide receivers, bare minimum, right?
Yeah. I mean, Verse is going to go for pass rush-wise. Verse is going to go in the first round.
Verse and Latu.
Yeah,
Latu. So we're already into the mid-20s right there.
You probably got Wiggins and Mitchell for corners that'll definitely go in the first round.
And Cooper.
Cooper DeJean will probably go in the first round. Yeah, so, I mean, you're talking like – you know, 25 spots that before you even start looking at wide receivers that, you know, could be off the board. So,
right. Those guys like Leggett, who people are like, oh, yeah, he could be a first round guy, but a could be that's somebody who, if they don't go first round, then suddenly then people start drafting for need. And, you know, that's when guys slide. And then you never know what could happen with a quarterback who slides. Like JJ McCarthy could slide all the way to round five where he belongs.
He should, maybe six.
If JJ McCarthy slides out of the top 10, I'll be shocked.
I will be at this point too. I had a thought. Jordan Travis. I think that's a guy that we should look at. And if he's around in like round five, as a developmental backup quarter, because like he has a lot of those attributes we that would look good in a Lamar Jackson offense.
Sign a UDFA. We don't need a red shirt. I don't care about backup quarterback. I don't want to put any assets or anything other than a minimum contract behind a backup quarterback.
We saw what happens if Lamar goes down. So I mean,
we're fucked anyway. So
yeah, I guess. But we saw what happened. So we saw what happens when Lamar goes down and we have an undrafted free agent quarterback. But
what's the difference between him and fucking Jordan Travis? Not much.
Jordan Travis is light years better.
Way better than Tyler Huntley.
And again, you're talking about taking him in the sixth round of the NFL draft. If he was that good, he wouldn't be taken.
That's
the
just
round.
Because of injury.
ACL in what, January or December? So he, I mean, he would be a first.
Oh, so you want to take an injured guy to be Lamar's backup? That's why I say
you got to redshirt him.
Yeah,
fuck him. Not interested. Don't waste. That'd be like fucking worse than taking Ben Mason in the fifth round, taking a backup quarterback.
We just did it with Voorhees.
Again, that's a guy who could start. Jordan Travis.
But a backup quarterback is valuable.
Backup quarterback is not valuable. It doesn't fucking matter. Well, Mar goes down, we're fucked.
Be called Juszczyk out in San Diego, so you better watch your tone.
Yeah, I mean, fucking probably. Greg Roman's going to like give him like a, you know, 5-year, $300 million contract.
You said San Diego.
Mail route he runs.
Ben Mason's going to go to San Diego. It's going to happen.
He already did.
Chargers. He signed with the Chargers.
He signed already?
They don't play in San Diego.
He's gonna make him Kyle Juszczyk out there.
That's why you had them stupid ass fans crying talking about your
Grant today has referred to the Chargers as being in San Diego and the Raiders as being in Oakland.
Oakland. Yeah. And they fuck them new cities.
Grant, what year is it?
1997.
Grant's still stuck in 2016. That's when he peaked. That was peak of life for him.
My chicken quesadilla took me back in time.
Yeah. You know, 2020 happened and Grant's life just fell off a cliff. Not happy anymore. I don't know how much more we have this week.
It's the off season. It's overreaction season. I don't know how much more we can squeeze out of this week. Not a whole lot has happened.
No Diddy.
We're basically just talking about what hasn't happened. That's it. You know?
Yeah. We're basically making Grant's a white supremacist joke, which isn't true. And
And if people could see you, you look like a white supremacist with the fucking attire you're wearing.
Boy, Drew Charles.
Have you all seen Ricky Stenicki yet?
No. So fucking funny.
When Drew did that, I was like, he's air dick.
You got no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
If you watch,
because he doesn't have Amazon Prime. That's why.
Oh yeah, fuck Jeff Bezos.
You got a blue check, but not Amazon Prime. Poverty.
I have a long-standing beef with Amazon.
They broke a mirror one time.
They broke a brick on my driveway.
Hey, Drew, is that tweet still going viral?
No, it's slowed down quite a bit, thankfully. My God, I lose faith in society every time I tweet something like that.
Yo, when I tweeted that shit, they was like, I forgot what they said. I was like, bro, I ain't even say it was that Bryce. I just said why he started running. That's what funny.
It's a great fucking video, and it's like 5 years old. The guy has fucking Nevada plates, and I thought it was like a well-known meme. So I posted it saying it's Rushy Rice, and I get all these fucking dumbasses in my comments. Oh, racist, that's clearly not him. Shut the fuck up.
Damn, your day has been a good day. But for some reason, if EDC could pull that Brandon Ayuk move off, boy, I'm going to be a menace on that.
Next week, we either have Brandon Ayuk trade reaction or Grant's giving you the top 50 of the draft with comps.
Well, we also, depending on how quickly Fanatics can fucking deliver a goddamn jersey, we have Naldo's going to deliver on his bet at some point here. But
yeah, he needs a Derrick Henry jersey before he does that, though.
Yeah, we're not going to have him. Yeah. And he was like, oh, well, no, I'm going to record it live at the draft party. I was like, no, you're not going to record anything. I need you on the podcast because if for some reason you do this shit and you throw up everywhere, I need that shit live on the podcast. I need the clip.
Yeah.
Hold up. Who will do what?
He said he would shotgun 4 White Claws or something like that if we signed Derrick Henry. So
Yeah, so he ordered a Derrick Henry jersey. So we're waiting for him to receive his Derrick Henry jersey, and then he's going to come on the podcast and shotgun.
And this is not a Brian situation. He has asked to do this.
He's committed to it, and we need
the Derrick Henry jersey to make the whole aesthetic work.
He is committed, and so yeah. So when the Derrick Henry jersey comes in, which should be any day now, you know. So hopefully it's by next week.
The funniest thing is he's going to get a 22 Derrick Henry jersey, and then Derrick Henry is not going to be number 22.
Yeah, yeah, and it's gonna, yeah, and you're not even gonna see. Everyone's gonna think it's gonna be a fucking Jimmy Smith jersey because he can't even see the name on the back.
Yeah,
he tell him wear it backwards. He gotta wear it backwards.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
like Melly.
It's like the day that we traded for Roquan and we recorded that day, and Drew just wore Elvis Gerback jersey and pretended like he had a Roquan.
I'm gonna get me a Keaton Mitchell jersey because I think he already switched to number two.
You think?
Oh, so I think Derrick Henry.
Breaking news.
He's going to wear number two. Trust me.
Yeah, that's what he was in college.
I think that's confirmed.
Who's your source?
I think
I know.
I think we know who it is.
I know who the source is.
I think we know who the source is.
Is he trustworthy? Does he know things about Keaton Mitchell? This source of yours?
Yeah, myself.
You're the source because somebody who knows things about Keaton Mitchell told you.
No, I asked him personally.
That was what I was getting at. That was the joke. So breaking news, Keaton Mitchell told Trippy that he's wearing number two, so we're gonna take him at his word there.
Get that number two sign.
That's great that he's gonna be two, and then Derrick Henry can be 22 because he's like twice the size of
Isn't Pepe Williams 22?
No, Pepe Williams might get six.
I'm saying right now Pepe Williams is 22.
No, Derrick Henry's 22.
You mean last year? Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, he was 22.
Oh, yeah,
was wearing 22 last year, but yeah.
Yeah, Pepe Williams.
All right.
That's crazy, sure. Too, bro, because I got a homeboy. He was like, bro, he from Buffalo. He's like, bro, can you get Pepe sign my jersey? I'm like, yeah. And he signed that shit, but now he got to be jersey.
I mean, number six. taking over number six from, fucking Judas Queen.
Yeah. Benedict Arnold Queen.
Yeah. Fucking Johnny Damon Queen.
Maybe Ray Justin Allen Tucker. Queen. Maybe Justin Tucker go back to six. Remember when Justin Tucker had six?
No.
Justin Tucker can't give up nine.
Look, Will don't remember that. You don't remember Justin Tucker used to have
six in the first training camp, wasn't he? And then he switched to nine when the season started.
Come on, Will. What, you just became a Ravens fan, man?
Yeah. What the fuck, bro? How'd you not know?
Sorry, I didn't memorize his training camp number. Sorry.
Fucking fake fan. Unbelievable.
Will even care?
Will doesn't even care about the Ravens. Doesn't even know that Justin Tucker is wearing number six.
Yeah, he only cares about the Orioles right now.
Yeah.
They're making me a lot of money right now.
Four plus two is six. That's the Orioles record, and that was also Justin Tucker's
And that's how many times the running back ran. Our running back, six times.
A whole lot of sixes going on here. Not good.
We definitely can't have a running back wearing six.
Nope. That'd be bad. Derrick Henry should wear six, actually, as a constant reminder to John Harbaugh that he fucking called six run plays for an entire game.
That would be kind of funny.
Derrick Henry needs to wear 22 as a reminder to John Harbaugh that give Derrick Henry the ball 22 times every game.
All right, I'm on board with that. All right, Trippy, I think you got to die. We'll be back next week with fucking God knows what. Grant's top 50 list or celebrating Ayuk trade.
A listener voluntarily binge drinking. We're not forcing him to do that. We would never do that to anyone.
Drink responsibly.
Yep.
Well, that's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for me to die.
See ya!
Zone 32.